At your kid's school, do they have a bike rack?
Yes, there's many.
Not at my kids.
Right.
I mean, we talked about it last week.
Did you bring it up at the PTA meeting?
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. Hello and welcome to episode 356 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
I'm still just sitting here recording another podcast.
Still rainy or what?
Still raining, yep.
Still rainy and cold? Is it cold?
It is cold. It's very... Well, I don't know what's cold. It's probably 8 or 9 degrees. Is that cold?
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. We recorded this a little bit early. I was going to say, hey, you know, baseball playoffs are on, but they might be done by the time you hear this.
Could be, yeah. Who are you pulling for?
Ideally, I'm pulling for, we should have talked about this last week. I'm pulling for, the Dodgers just went through today. I was pulling for them.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see the Cubs go again.
Me too. Agreed.
Quite honestly, I had no problem with the Cubs necessarily, except for don't like Joel Maddon too much.
He got tossed a couple times.
Yeah, he's good. I don't know what his problem is, but not important. So I was glad to see the Dodgers go through, and as of right now, the Yankees are up 3-2, and they seem to be on a roll. I don't want them to go through.
Me either. I'm really pulling for the Astros. I'm quite sad that they dropped 3 in a row.
Yes. One, it's just fun to watch Altuve hit.
Yes.
But also, imagine if the series, which will probably extend into November, imagine if the series is played in two hot weather cities, then we don't have to watch guys wearing parkas and toques under their uniforms like we have the past few years.
Right.
I want it just for that reason alone.
Yeah, I like the Astros uniforms. I'm big on orange, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm, that's really the primary reason. That and Altuve, he is fun to watch.
He is absolutely fun to watch, and the only weird thing for me is that, you know, my entire life, the Houston Astros played in the National League, and now and I know they've been in the AL for a few years now. It just doesn't sit right with me. It feels weird.
Right.
Yeah.
I got you.
Not a problem for you, evidently.
No, that doesn't bother me. I don't like some of the beards. You know, if Keuchel has to square off against Turner. No, I was going to say Turner for the Dodgers. Yeah. Oh my gosh, those are two horrendous beards.
I give. Turner a pass because he's getting the landing spot on the top of his head.
Right.
So he's clinging to what he has. I know he's a big fan of the show. So
yeah,
he's a great hitter. So I really respect the guy, but the beard's got to go. At some point, we got to be past this beard thing.
And I heard this last night because I was working and I had the game on in the background at the clinic, and 7 for 9 in the playoffs with runners in scoring position.
The is RISP, turning. Yeah.
Insane. That is insane, yeah. So, anyways, shout out to our man Turner and his horrible JT. orange beard.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you know he can play, though, because he wears that beard and he still gets to start.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the baseball.
Everyone was waiting for it because in your off season they're not getting their baseball chit-chat.
No, they're not getting the good segment. But meanwhile, Amazon. I bought something on Amazon.
Okay.
Not between shows here. Literally, I mean, before the last one, but I just forgot to mention it.
What'd you buy?
Just a couple of USB sticks.
Okay.
Remember, I told you a few episodes ago. I'm like, oh yeah, I got a ton of those. Clients have not returned them.
Okay.
So here's a dilemma. One client from a little while ago, I delivered. But having this issue, I format the cards for FAT or FAT extended or whatever the heck it's called. I'm on a Mac, but you can format those for the FAT, right?
Sure.
Because I know I'm giving them to someone who has the Windows computer. So I do that, give it to them. They say, oh, yeah, it will not recognize the card. It tells me I have to format the card, which means all the pictures will just be gone. And it's happened more than once now. So I thought, oh, wow, that's no fun. Anyways, I've delivered it to the client. It didn't work out, so I ended up burning them to a couple of DVDs, which I don't – it's a pain because I have to go find a DVD burner in the attic because I don't do it often at all.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, point being, so the client came and got them, paid me, did not bring the stick back.
Ooh.
However, so the stick was probably a $12 stick, did give me a $50 tip.
Okay.
That's a – you call that even, right?
Sure.
Okay. My wife wants to get me to call them. Hey, do you still have that stick? I said, no. I went on the Amazon, just bought a couple more.
Right.
So there you go. That's what I bought. And it just feels weird doing it because, you know, you can go to the store and get them, but they just show up to your house.
Yeah. It's pretty
cool. I'm not sure if you know how Amazon works.
No. I feel like someone's just sitting up on top of the clouds throwing things at my house.
Yeah. That's essentially what's happening. And you even have an option with this. They have it's called the no frustration packaging, meaning they'll just take the USB stick and just throw it in the envelope instead of that big giant plastic case that it comes in that you have to cut through.
Right.
So I'll choose the no frustration every time.
Yeah.
That's my move. All right. What's going on, Adam?
Still nothing.
Did I do that out of order? I think I already asked, and then I went to Amazon.
Maybe.
For me, it's just busy times. This stretch until Christmas is way too hectic, but that's life, man.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for you.
No, you shouldn't. So ist das Leben. C'est la vie.
Right.
Yeah. Monthly challenge. Reminder, next week we'll talk about it. Is fall colors. Monthly challenge for October. Hashtag your photo on Instagram as Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, and we'll take a look.
Okay.
Last week you said you shot something interesting.
I did family photos, so I did mention that last week for some people I know, and we went to a park. We went to Queen Elizabeth Park in Vancouver, which is near...
Great choice.
Yeah, which is somewhere that you know pretty well, right? You've been there for... Mm-hmm. I think I went on a photo shoot way back when with you to help you out and be your assistant years ago. But we got lucky. We scheduled a day to do this and happened to be a day where the weather turned out and they're a family of four. And I said, okay, well, let's do it as close to magic hour as possible. I know with kids and dinner and all that stuff, but they were very cooperative. So we went out to Queen Elizabeth Park and we basically walked around and I just sort of, you know, said, oh, how about here and there? And we just kind of took shots as we moved around the park. Turns out on a Sunday evening at Queen Elizabeth Park, when you get one of the only nice days in the last few weeks, everybody's there. Everybody's there. There are people and with cameras and photos in every little nook and cranny. So the challenge more becomes just how to get your family shot, get back far enough where you can get what you want in it and not be obstruct. Like, I don't want to be the guy who's always in the way either. But I want to, you know, deliver some nice photos for my client. So, we figured out a way to do it. I put a couple of photos, in the box so that you can show, but, we just kind of made our way around the park and because of the time of day, the light was good. No needed extra light. So I brought a couple lights and stuff, which I never took out of the bag. And, just,
do you want to take them out just because, like I brought them. If I don't use them, I'm going to kick myself.
Sometimes I do, and I was like the people I was doing the photos for, the mom, she does, you know, she's an amateur photographer. She takes a lot of her own photos. And so, you know, this was kind of cool for her in that, you know, she was going to get to be in some actual family photos rather than, you know, like us always be behind the camera. So in that situation, she really recognizes a good photo, not so much for the production value, but just do what you need to do to get the best photo. And in this case, with the time of day and the light and the surroundings, the best photos were going to be without artificial light.
Right. Oh, so, no, that's the end. You have to suppress that instinct because you're better off not doing it, but you just feel like, why am I lugging these around? I better use them.
Yeah. And again, when I'm driving out prior to, you don't know in an hour or two from the time you leave your house to the time you're actually taking the shots or if the light changes what you're going to get. And so mm-hmm. I sort of, you know, you kind of come prepared for a weather change. And so, because you don't want to be standing there going, all right, now everything changed and it's, you know, cloud cover and dark and I can't do it now. So you don't want to be in that situation. So I did just bring a couple of speed lights and like I said, never had a need for them. So yeah, I put in a couple of pictures. You can see there are a couple of family shots. And then I'll use one of them as far as the photo challenge goes as individual shot. But basically, nice light, find a spot where you don't have to include others in the background. And 70-200 lens on my 6D. And this is just a great combination of camera and lens and sharpness and color. You can never reproduce nice light in this situation like this in a studio. Like it's just, I mean, I guess no. It might be possible, but I've never been able to recreate it. It just has that combination of sort of softness, but I don't know. It still shapes, like it's not flat light, but it's not high contrast. And this is kind of the light that we're always hoping to get. And you kind of just have to be lucky. Like you just have to be lucky. And I showed a little bit of a variety, like shooting with the light to my back and including more depth of field and lots of background. And then I included a family shot where I'm shooting right into the sun with some foliage in the foreground, like just to kind of show. I mean, we probably did 45. We were probably in the park 45 minutes to an hour and just kind of walked around. And I'm just looking for variety. I'm never sure exactly which ones are going to be the winner. So I did one in front of a waterfall. I don't think I included that one in the ones I sent to you, but I can throw that one in too. I just try to include different locations because I know what I like, but we all have different tastes. And so in this kind of situation, I just want to give them four or five different looks and then let them decide what their favorite is because it might not be the same as what I like. So and then I did find one little area where there's nobody around and it was just the really nice light coming through. And then I just went through and I shot, you know, the kids together and mom and son and mom and daughter and, you know, husband and wife. And I did all those little shots, but pretty much in the exact same spot, just thinking that number one, the light was terrific. But number two, if they made, you know, sometimes people like to make a little collage and it's nice to kind of have just the same background for that. So I did that and I could do it really quickly because nobody was in the background and the light was terrific. So I did that. So I included a couple of pictures of that. And really, it can't get any more simple. Just the idea of find that light, position your subjects, take a couple test shots, and once you have it, now you can work really quickly and just kind of run everybody through that spot.
That's my favorite scenario, is the being able to work quickly. And of all the shots, I look through them here. I like the family shot, the simple one on the path without the, not the one with the shrubbery in the front.
Right, the one that's just the sun is to my back in that one.
Okay, and very little sky, and so that one's good too. It shows that nice glow, but there's something about the shot that they can crop this in a square, like the way you shot it, like that wide like that, is you've given them a number of options. So if they want to have a big, you know, big giant one above the fireplace, although where would their TV go then?
Yeah,
but if they want a big giant one, they can do a, you know, in a what do you call it, 12x18 or right. Or larger. Or if they want to crop it off and frame it square, they can do that too, and it's going to be a great photo.
Yeah.
And so do they live generally in the vicinity of this park?
Yeah.
Yeah, so even better. Like that's what I always like to do, if possible, is shoot somewhere near where the people live because it's part of their everyday.
Right.
And so this is very nice. It's a nice setting as it is. Like the Queenie Park is fantastic. But even more so if it means something to them.
Yeah. And that's exactly because when they said hey, where do you want to do this? I said, my first thought was, well, somewhere close to you, like that for that exact reason. Cause I thought, oh, hey, yeah, you guys can come to Steveston or we can go, you know, into one of the beaches, but really let's go somewhere that's right close to your house. Cause people will recognize it. You know, people, friends that come over to their house that also live in the area, like, oh yeah, that's Queenie Park, because mm-hmm. they spend time there. Right.
Yep. Yep. And being able to shoot the in the old days, or in the middle days, I think, when I started to have a whole bunch of different lenses, I would probably want to make use of all of them. And now, like yourself, I have the confidence to say I'm going with a 70-200 and shooting the whole thing with that one lens.
Yeah.
Love it. Love the simplicity of it all, which it kind of works out good for this week's episode, because right. This episode is all about simplicity. I also shot, this wasn't a photo session, I just wanted to throw in a picture I shot of, again, of my daughter, a lot of pictures of my kids this time of year, and every other time of year. But we're down at the playground, and I just happened to see some nice light, had the 5D Classic and the 70-200, and snapped this one. It was just, she's mid-playing, so her hair's a mess, but there's this kind of awesome light coming through the leaves that sort of broke up across her face, nice little dappled light. And with the green background, with the trees in the background just going out of focus, it was just a snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
So another example of why you take pictures this time of year.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Photo challenge this week is simple.
Okay.
And this was not mine, so why don't you go first? Let's have a look at yours.
Okay, that's the simple Adam. It's the one with the daughter and the dad.
The father-daughter.
Father-daughter combo. And again, I had every combination in this light. I just chose this one because I like it. I like it. And it, to me, it sort of just screams simple. Like the background's mm-hmm. very simple. The pose is very simple. The smiles are just kind of the smiles I like. The sort of, you know, not over dramatic. It just, I love this photo. I bet they don't have another photo that looks like this.
Probably not. And I appreciate the fact that he's gone to the trouble to have exactly perfect hair.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He went all out for this. So no, I appreciate that as well. And I just love my sister-in-law refers to it as the smize that the daughter has, like the smile mm-hmm. with the eyes. Like just she nailed it. Like just a tiny little bit of squint, and it's perfect. And same with his, because he definitely warned me beforehand that, you know, the getting the smile right, he always felt like his smile is awkward. And again, that's kind of what I use this one is. I feel like he nailed the smile in terms of the perfect mood for this image.
Yeah, it is a good smile because it's really asymmetrical.
Okay, there you go. There's a little bit on the one side, like that little mm-hmm. bit of the dimple comes out too. But yeah, and they just look natural. Like, this is hard to do, to look natural when you're standing in front of somebody to take your photo, when you got to do this on cue. And I might have spent 2 minutes, and I did 10 of this combination, him and his daughter, maybe not even 10, maybe 7 or 8. But we did not spend much time, and I did not give them much direction. They kind of did this on their own. And I think they kept looking, both all the combinations, they were looking for me to give them more direction, except for they were just following into very natural positions, and so I didn't need to. Mm-hmm. And I just love when that's the case, because I feel like the more direction you give people, the harder it looks like they're trying.
Right.
Is that, would you agree with that?
Yeah. All the time. That's what I try to get around and try to, hey, just go ahead and play. Pretend I'm not here.
Yeah.
And yeah. Which they can't do.
Yeah,
you know, it's not going to happen, and it's more so the camera than me. I'm not, you know, big leaguing you, but it's always a big challenge. And then they want direction. You're like, all right, well, put your hand here, I guess, you know, and it just doesn't work out the same. So that's why something like this much better.
Yeah, so that's
and
that's
the catch lights in the eyes too.
Nice yeah, little, nice and that was just eye. All because of their angle and position to the light. Yeah.
It is, but it's also, you know, you want to say, oh, it's luck, but it's putting yourself in that position. And so when you take these kind of pictures, I think we've talked before, is it's nice to have clients who like you or sort of understand what it is that you do, because it can be very, very easy to look at this and go, oh, that's it? That's all you had to do? Why are we paying you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, but really, you're paying me because I know where to be, when to be, what lens to do it. I've done all the work ahead of time. So you don't have to watch me sweat in front of you for half an hour to get this one shot. I've taken you out of the equation. So it's nice to have clients who appreciate that because they don't always do it.
Well, and I think that, again, if you're doing family portrait stuff, I feel like probably the most important variable for, I mean, obviously you want to get good photos, but for when the client walks away and goes back to their car and goes home, is that they're, because they don't have the photos yet, right? So their first feeling walking away is either one of two things. Either, wow, that took a long time, and I've got kids, and so the kids start to kind of get a bit cranky. Mm-hmm. And so your goal is to absolutely minimize the amount of time you're spending on each little setup. Like, you want to, you know, do it quickly, move through, because then you can get different looks and setups, but also you're trying to beat the clock as far as the kids kind of acting up. Now, it kind of depends on how old the kids are. And these were, I want to say 8 and 6, something like that. And so that's pretty good. The 6 is always going to be a little bit of a wild card, but in this case, the kids were terrific. But I also, we walked around, the kids got into it. They were suggesting locations and things, and I never spent very long in any one location. I'd get the shot, and then I just kind of move on. And I could tell they were always almost a little bit surprised that, yeah, we're done already, and we're moving mm-hmm. on. And that was kind of for the whole sake of, I wanted to finish, and I wanted them to feel like, wow, that didn't take very long. But then at the end of that, you still got to be confident enough to deliver a good product at the end. And I felt like when I gave them all the photos, I think I probably gave them like, and this is the ones that I actually gave them to keep, probably at least 60 photos. And we were only there an hour, but again, no recycle time, could just kind of, you know, trigger off 4 or 5 quick ones in each scenario. And because they were so cooperative and they were so natural, it really, really wasn't that hard. Like, it didn't have to sort through closed eyes scenarios or a whole bunch of weird, funky faces. It was pretty good. And partly, I think it's the age range is just old enough to be into it and to not fall apart, right?
Right. Right. All right. Let's have a look at mine. Similar situation as to, you know, on the playground, kind of just existing light and just fired away.
Okay. I mean, I did a photo. It's funny, like you say this, I did almost the same photo. This is sort of a constructed slide or something, that, or treehouse, or what do we got going on here?
Just the playground.
Okay. So this is Germany, so they make it all out of trees.
This one they did, I guess. Yes.
Because it doesn't look like your typical playground apparatus that you would see here. But it is cool looking. But I did a photo as we were leaving the park of the two kids. Just they decided they were going to climb up into the tree, and then they posed for me up in the tree. And I love stuff like that. It's the kind of thing that it looks posed, but it doesn't look posed. Just depending on how they sort of position themselves. Now this clearly looks posed because of Sam's arm. If his arm was down just beside him, I think it would just look like, hey, maybe you just happened to catch a cool little moment. Right. This is him about to give her a headlock and try to do a flying kind of a wrestling move off of the playground. But it is cute, and I do really like your daughter's face. Your son needs some more smiling lessons.
Oh, boy, does he ever. He likes to eat his lips for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why he does it. He always fires it in. He's getting better. But, to me, this is my son, so... That's the face he makes, so for me it's you know, means something. But you're right, it's not, you know, I'll work on it with him. That's the plan for
even, hey, don't smile.
I tried that, but then he gets sad. Like, he looks, he does the big sad face, like, and I'm like, oh, no, something just neutral. You know what neutral means? And no, he doesn't know. But this is a situation of the light at this time of day just happens to rip through those leaves perfectly and hit this one spot where they can sit. And in the summer, it doesn't do that. Like, the sun is in a different place, and so it basically falls behind a building instead of through the leaves of the tree, and you just can't get this shot. So this exists only one time of the year, and we happened to be playing on the playground at that time. I said, guys, just go sit there. I'm going to snap a photo for Oma. And probably right at around 200 mils was able to back up, and very, very simple. Nothing in post-production, nothing. So that's kind of what I appreciate about these kind of photos.
Okay. No, it's good. I have a personal question for you. It's as far as being a photographer goes.
Okay.
Because I remember a long time ago when we had Amber Hughes on the podcast, she kind of mentioned that, and I'm not comparing myself to Amber. She's a way better photographer than I am. But just the feeling of when you're going to do work for a client, no matter what the work is, that feeling like when you're driving there, I never feel confident. Every single time I go to do work for a person, whether it's someone I know or someone I don't really know, I always, the entire way, have doubt about what the outcome's going to look like. Will I be able to get what I want? Like, I feel like I'm a confident person 95% of my life, photography. Mm-hmm. It might come across in terms of the way I talk about it that I'm super confident, but I always am doubting what I'm going to get as good. And then when I get a good result afterwards, I'm always sort of pleasantly surprised. Like I'm surprised.
Just do a camera flip.
but even having a good result, on one shoot or in one situation, it never is like, oh, I got this. Like it's always right. Do you feel that way? Is that a photographer thing, or is that just a me thing, or maybe because again, Amber is proving herself over and over and over again. And again, that comes back to my mind is that why would she doubt herself? Right?
Yeah,
she
I gets do the same.
Good. You do as well.
I do, but there is. I have learned to power through it, and the method I use is that I always offer to every single client a 100% money back guarantee, and thus, not that it takes me off, it makes me work harder. I never phone it in and say, all right, well fine, I'll give them their money back. I don't want to give them their money back,
right?
And I never have. I've never been forced to honor that. I've never been asked to honor that. I should say, but it kind of gives me it takes a little bit of the made up pressure that I put on myself. It takes that off because I know, all right, what's the worst case here? I mean, for a wedding, obviously that's different because it's a once in a lifetime. Well, it depends, but usually a once in a lifetime thing, and you don't want to miss those moments. But for any other photo shoot, I'm like, you know what? Worst case, we come back next week and I don't charge them.
Okay,
but I still have that self-doubt, but what allows me to function is that money-back guarantee.
Okay. I'll take that into consideration. I don't know that I'll ever offer that, but I can see I can see how that would alleviate some of the pressure that we put on ourselves. And I don't know. I feel like I put a lot of pressure on myself. Yeah. I don't know why. This is not by any stretch my way I feed my family. It has nothing to do with that. It's just more hobby that provides some side income,
mm-hmm.
but I put an enormous amount of pressure on myself every single time.
There is part of that too, that which again I feel the same way, power through it. But one of the angles of why I put so much pressure on myself, and it's unfair to do, is because I wanted people see my photos, but people see your photos too of your kids, and they say, well, yeah, hey, what if I hire you to come and take those photos of my kids? Well, you can't. It's not possible because you have to hire me for the entire week. I have to come live at your house, and when stuff happens, I'll be there with my camera. But that's how it is with my kids, is that shot you see of them, under the in the rain or something with an umbrella and cool light, I could never plan that light for you.
Right.
It's when it happens, I grab my camera and I go, and I'm out there for 10 seconds, and I have the photo. But in the meantime, there's a week of nothing. And so that pressure gets to me a little bit too, where people are expecting, hey, I want what you have, in 45 minutes.
Like, well, exactly. And I feel like I, was very fortunate when I did this last photo shoot, just because we walked right into just the perfect weather combination, time of day, all that. I mean, I set it up for that, but I got super lucky on the light. And so for these people, like for other people to see their photos in their house and say, hey, who did those? I want them to do it for me. Oh, yeah, we did that in 45 minutes. We just walked around the park. Mm-hmm. I'm not likely to be able to reproduce that again. It's mm-hmm. just the fact that they walked into a perfect lighting situation.
Mm-hmm. Thank right? you, Mother
Nature. Yeah, that puts more pressure on me. Like the way I think, it puts more pressure on me the next time, because you know we're constantly, I think, in as photographers, kind of raising our own bar, right?
Sure.
So, and then sometimes you nail it, and you think okay, but then the next time you're not necessarily going to get the cooperation, and you're not going to get a result that's as good, and certainly not nearly as fast. And then you feel like, oh, I've kind of taken a step back as a photographer. And again, thinking about the wedding photos that I got with my cousin, again, I don't know. I don't want to do weddings. It's not something I'm interested in doing. But if I had to do that again, I don't think I would do as well as I did in that situation. It was a combination mm-hmm. of people who know you, who are comfortable with you, good light, good helpers, and again, that I think adds to that pressure for the next time, right?
It absolutely does.
So money back guarantees all around.
That and keep it simple. That's what I'm telling you. Keep everything simple, and that's the topic this week. Okay. Topic this week is something called Occam's Razor. Something that's become, I've sort of accidentally, also on purpose, made it a very important part of my life. It's a philosophy. And with that, I took the opportunity. We have one of the pitchers on our baseball team is a Canadian guy, one of the coaches that we bring in every year, and he is a philosopher. Well, no, he has a master's in philosophy. Does that make him a philosopher?
Sure.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk to him. His name is...
Wait. Did he finish the master's?
Oh, yeah. Finished his master's.
Is he on to the PhD?
Oh, no. He's a part-time baseball coach in Germany. That's what the master's of philosophy gets you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Nothing. But anyway, so I sat down with him a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to talk about philosophy in general first. And so this interview you're about to hear is actually part two of a two-parter.
Okay, where's part one?
Boring is where it is. Okay. It was so boring that I sat down, tried to edit it down into something that was not boring, and not possible. It was just awful. However, I think this part is at least less boring. So hopefully I'm not overselling it as less boring. But the other part was all about, we're going to introduce what is philosophy? Because I have an idea of what philosophy means. You know, everybody kind of has their philosophy of life, which I now realize I may have confused philosophy with perspective.
Okay.
I think the sort of colloquial, oh man, why did I write that word down? Colloquial?
Yeah.
Version of perspective is sort of what we call philosophy. The colloquial philosophy is really perspective, I think. We don't sit down, I believe in this or whatever it is. I don't know if that's necessarily philosophy, but we would have aired that, except it was terrible.
Okay.
Now, with that, I'm saving you some time, but I did sit down with Alex and talked about the concept and the philosophy of Occam's Razor, how it applies to your life, and how I feel it applies to my photography anyways, in terms of keeping things simple. So with that, here is my interview with Alex Tufts. You asked me, hey, so how does your philosophy apply to your photography?
Mm-hmm.
And it does. Many years ago, I don't know how I stumbled across this. I think I probably it's one of those many things is not little known, that the listeners know, that a little fact about me is that I have invented many famous things, usually years after they've been invented,
mm-hmm.
which is a horrible way to do business.
Yeah, that's backwards.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So the cotton gin, yeah, that was me. No, but there was. I remember a couple years ago, we did a method, a little photography thing on the show, and I said, oh yeah, it's sort of what I invented this. And one of our listeners, or many of our listeners, actually emailed and sent in message saying, "Hey, no, that's, geez, I can't think of his name right now. No, that's he did that.
Mm-hmm.
He already invented it." And I went and looked, and sure enough, he had invented it. You know, and so in this case, my philosophy that I developed, I found out that I did not invent it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really develop it. I just decided one day that life doesn't need to be that difficult. And so I decided to go with every solution. I decided to take the simple one.
It sounds a lot like Occam's Razor,
which is probably the coolest name for something ever.
Yeah, it's very bold sounding.
Yeah, I didn't know what that means. Why razor?
I mean, it wasn't actually called Occam's Razor until after he died. So he didn't really, you know, benefit from this. It was just sort of a principle where he was like, "Let's not how did he formulate it? Let's not multiply things unnecessarily."
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of got morphed into, as far as I know, it got morphed into this broad will to simplicity.
It is broad.
Yeah,
I think the first time that you and I discussed it in the dugout one time, you basically said, "Oh yeah, I think it sounds like it's all things to all people."
Yeah,
which it might be.
Mm-hmm.
I took it weighs very heavily on my life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So what is, you know, besides the fancy one you just said, what is Occam's Razor to the layman, to Joe Sixpack?
Yeah, I mean the layman's term for it is basically, you know, like keep it simple, stupid. It's the mm-hmm. the simplest solution is probably the right one.
Probably.
Yeah.
I've heard it misquoted before.
It's a big word.
Yeah. Well, I've heard it misquoted. I've heard it saying is that the simplest solution is always the best one.
Yeah, I think that's a little problematic.
It's not always the best one.
No. There's some things that are complicated and need to be complicated.
For example?
Let's go with, I mean, things like ethics and politics, things like that. You can't offer simple solutions to everything, to complex problems.
Not everything, but to most things.
Yeah.
It doesn't. See, politics, I disagree with. I thought you were going to say brain surgery.
Okay, yeah.
That's one's complicated.
Yeah, that one's a little trite, though. I was trying to stay away from that.
Right.
Rocket science, maybe.
Rocket science, also okay. Complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a rocket scientist.
Mm-hmm.
However, so a little background. Back, you know, and back in my, I'd say 20 years ago, I overcomplicated everything.
Photography-wise or life-wise?
Life-wise.
Okay.
This is even pre-photography.
Okay.
You know, and this is just, and I was not happy. I wasn't, you know, don't need to get into all that stuff, but just wasn't fulfilled, wasn't happy, don't know, like would make a big deal about, you go out for dinner, well, we can go to a certain place because I need to eat this and I can't eat that and this and that. And just, it's silliness. And it wasn't projecting, it wasn't paying off is the short way of saying it. And so I don't even know. It's probably moving to Germany or sometime thereafter. So like 10 years ago, where I just said, you know what? We're going to go the simple route. And sometimes it's you're going to get burned, but most times you're going to be very, very happy.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that. And I mean, I think it's a pivotal point in your life. You're discovering priorities and things like that, and you're you know, to use the metaphor here, you're shaving away the excess things in your life that don't really need to exist.
So for example, and this is one of the examples that I used and we talked about last week, not on the show, sorry, this is off the air. One little example, and then this sounds silly. I guarantee you this sounds silly, but this will change how you approach your life because it applies elsewhere. Is you go to the store, and let's say you're one of the few people who I am who still pays cash, and you give them your 20, and you have, you know, say €3.73 coming back. Do you count your change?
I mean, you look at it, you glance at it on a normal day.
I bet you some people count their change.
Right there. In Germany, it's pretty busy. They're shooing people along here pretty quick.
That's true. At the Etika and the Aldi, they're getting you out there. Out the door.
You got it, because the next person's got to get their bag up there, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I changed it. But no, I've done this for
Canada,
a long time.
We'll say in Canada. For.
But see, like in Europe, as in Canada, is we have 1 and 2 euro coins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's a little different in America where you have the ones.
Yeah.
However, my move is generally I look at, you know, if my change is coming back and it's going to be 373, I have a quick glance, see that there's a one, a two there,
yeah,
and a bunch of other coins. Now, that could be $8 in coins or it could be 4 cents in coins. I don't know. But for me, it's not worth it to count. That over the on a macro level, it's going to kind of work out. And what's the worst case? You're going to be out 70 cents.
Yeah.
Worst case.
Yeah.
And so to me, that to me is it's a very small sample of what Occam's razor is. Is that in general, just very simple, and it's probably going to be right. But you apply it to pitching. I know you do.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you don't have to, you know, I remember we had, I've coached people in the past who they get up there. I'm a pitching coach and, they're like, yeah, I throw 8 pitches. Okay. First of all, the catcher doesn't have enough fingers to put down for that. You know, he's got to take off his glove, but, you know, it's like, okay, well, this is men's league in Germany. If you can throw 2 over the plate, I will be very impressed at a high level. So that's another way it applies itself.
But to back that up even further, I know for you, I mean, you throw very hard, for this league, very good pitcher especially in this league, but first time through the order when you're playing a team, how often have you thrown just fastballs?
Pretty much every time. Yeah.
Down the middle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a product of a lot of things, but I mean, there's no reason to get fancy or try to do something stupid and things like that. There's been a lot of times this year too. You know, it's been, you know, a little bit different playing in the second Bundesliga this year, but, you know, where guy gets on base and, we just don't hold him on for, you know, just cause it's like, okay, I'm just going to go after the hitters here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I always hold him on at first.
Yeah.
Pickoff, but no, you're right. At second base,
you love the tag on the pickoff, hard tagger here.
That's my move.
Yeah, the hard tag.
Try to intimidate.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's my Occam's razor. Who I have written on my glove.
Yeah,
yeah. But however, and now so I've tried to think about it, how it applies to my photography in particular, and I try to keep everything very simple. Now, for example. I mean, you may not know what the difference between a prime lens and a zoom lens is.
Nope.
You have you know what zoom means, though, I'm guessing.
I have a general idea.
Zoom in.
Yes.
So now you have the. Should we explain this on the show? I think listeners probably know what that means.
Yeah, I'm the odd one. I'm the odd one out here, guys.
Well, that over there, that's a prime lens.
Okay.
It doesn't zoom in or zoom out.
Yeah.
You have to do it with your feet. It is fixed.
Yeah.
Meaning. It is extremely good at that one thing.
Okay.
Now, a zoom lens is like, all right, well, it's fine. You know, like if you were to get like a, you know, like a scanner that's also a fax machine and also a printer, well, it's not very good at any of those things.
Yeah.
It'll do a yeoman's job of all of them, but it's not very good. If you take it and simplify it and make it a scanner, it's half the price. And it scans 4 times as good as well. And so that's how I feel about photography.
Yeah.
Is I want the simple camera. I don't want the gadgets on there. I don't want the zoom lens. I want a prime lens. So that's very, very good at one thing.
Yeah.
Now, oftentimes I'll go out and go, you know, take my kids to the playground or go on vacation. Take one camera and one lens. More often than not, it's my 30mm lens, which is, it's not wide, it's not tight, it's just kind of everything.
Yeah.
But it doesn't move. But it's very good at taking pictures. I'm very good at taking pictures. It's very good at rendering images.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll go on vacation, and sometimes I'll think, oh, no, like I need a telephoto here, like a zoom lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I just won't get the shot. Oh, well, and that's a situation in Occam's Razor where I kind of eat it a little bit.
Yeah.
However, my other 99 photos are way better than I ever would have got with that zoom lens. It's gotten to the point now, like we talked about last time, is that I don't even think about it anymore. I don't sit down and plot my Occam's Razor day.
Yeah.
You know, how is this all going to go?
Yeah.
You know, what's the best way, you know, how can I line up my, my chores? Can I, you know, like, the things I have to do today. I got to go to the Aldi, I got to go here. All right, I'm going to plan my route. My wife does that.
Yeah.
You know, and in the end, the return on investment is so low that you spend an hour planning on how to save 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
No.
And thus, I live my life according to Occam's Razor.
Yeah, it's a good, I think there is a need for, in a lot of areas, for simplicity and really not overthinking things. Yeah, maybe some of the guys from the German Baseball Federation are listening with the new playoff format in the first Bundesliga. But yeah, the ridiculous crossovers, anyway. But no, in all areas, I think it's important. It's about making things accessible in some ways to other people. And I've read this previously that they're trying to eliminate things like legal jargon in some ways, just to make it, you know, make things more accessible to the average person and not have
like
to,
the iTunes user agreement.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's 19 pages that, yeah, no one's ever read.
Well, I've never read it.
No, I've never read it.
No.
Why would you? I Occam's Razor that too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So are you going to teach a course on this now?
Occam's Razor in life?
Yeah.
I'm sure you could find a ton of undergrad and postgrad papers on it if you want to search the archives. Mm-hmm. of any university around.
No, I prefer to invent stuff after it's been invented.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of, that seems to be your move, yeah.
So what Alex is telling you is that take Occam's Razor, apply it to your own life, and you'll be happy. Guaranteed. 100% money back, guaranteed.
Well, we said like 99%, didn't we?
Well, I get 100% money back guarantee, though.
Oh, okay, that it will be 99%.
No, but you will be happy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because if, I can't use that example, but yeah, no, you'll be happy. You'll be much happier.
Yeah.
Even if you're not unhappy now.
Yeah.
Now we're going off into the weeds here.
Don't make things more complicated than they have to be. I think that's what we're trying to say.
Well, I want to hear from the listeners, actually. If you sort of have thought about this, or are now thinking about it, or have actually turned the show off and said you'll never listen again, which is highly likely.
If you're a Descartes fan, then yes.
We get that every.
We can win back the Descartes fan. Start saying some nice things about him. Had a good mustache.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Y equals mx plus b.
Yeah.
Big fan. Big fan of that. No, I would like to hear if anybody else, you know, has thought about this or will think about this and how it applies. So, Alex, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for having me.
Keep it simple. And we're back.
Wow.
Adam, what is your personal philosophy?
Be awesome every day.
Oh, mission accomplished. You're doing it.
That's what I think.
Be awesome every day. Be bad. Yeah, that's a horrible acronym.
BIAD.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So bad. Oh, yeah. I threw an extra E in there. Be awesome. Yeah, BIAD. No, I had it right. BIAD. No. No, it's like Joan Baez, but not quite.
Okay.
Not quite. all right. Not going to get an answer out of you.
No, I don't.
Photo challenge.
Do you have one? Did you say it in the
Occam's
interview?
Occam's Razor. I do. Occam's Razor has extended. Well, listen to the interview, but
oh,
don't.
God. Come on. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the worst 55 minutes you'll ever spend.
Okay.
No, just kidding. I think it's 12 minutes. Okay. But no, it is Occam's Razor. My wife's tired of hearing about it, amongst other things that I rattle on about, but that definitely is my philosophy. All right, photo challenge for next week is our monthly challenge.
Okay.
And that is fall colors. Hopefully we get some before then, otherwise Once again, Fumbleia.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. It's not looking great over here, but hopefully we'll get something.
I'm going to fake it. I'm going to go and spray paint some leaves.
Okay.
Do it. Yeah, so hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge on the Instagram, and we'll check it out. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And mine you can find at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.